Let's continue reading verses 8 through 24 of Genesis chapter 3. Now here we read about the sad results of the fall of man, but we also have the first promise of the Redeemer. Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Once again, let's begin this section now with some background notes. How long were Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in their unfallen state before they sinned? We don't know for sure because the Bible doesn't tell us, but probably it was not too long. Remember, the command to be fruitful and multiply was given before the fall, Genesis 1:28, and no children had been conceived yet. So the state of innocence probably did not last that long. Now the question always comes up as to what would have happened if Adam and Eve had not sinned. Well, I suppose they would have lived forever in their unfallen state. That's why we see the tree of life was put off limits to Adam and Eve, so that they would not live forever in their fallen state, as we read in verses 22 through 24. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim, that's a class of angels, at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Adam and Eve did sin, and most likely you and I would have sinned before long if we were in that same condition. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, they fell from their state of innocence. Before the fall, they were able to sin or able not to sin. They had a free will. After the fall, they were not able not to sin. This was because they now had a sinful nature. And that sinful nature has been passed on to every human being born since then, with the exception of our Lord Jesus. Now, exactly how that sinful nature which we have is passed on, genetically or otherwise, we can't be sure. In any case, as a result of Adam and Eve's disobedience, sin and death came into this perfect world that God had created. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned." Now, just one more background note before we move to our doctrinal points. In verse 20, we read that Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Have you heard of the Eve gene? We have in our cells what's called mitochondrial DNA. It is inherited only from our mothers. Recent genetic studies of the mitochondrial DNA have shown that all human beings descended from the same woman. This Eve gene evidence is certainly support for the truth of Genesis 3:20, that Eve was the mother of all living. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, the judgment of God was displayed because of the fall of man. The judgment of God was displayed because of the fall of man. The events of Genesis chapter 3 and the disobedience of man resulted in the judgment of God, judgment upon mankind and judgment upon Satan. And the evidence of this judgment is still displayed in this world. A woman's pain associated with childbirth is the result of the fall. Verse 16, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Now the last part of verse 16 is not easy to interpret. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. There have been several interpretations depending on how you view the word desire. I tend to lean in the direction that the word desire here is used in a negative sense, the same way it is used in Genesis 4:7, where God told Cain that sin desired him. In other words, part of the curse and judgment was that woman would try to dominate man, and there would be friction between men and women. In other words, the battle of the sexes is the result of the fall of man. In verses 17 through 19, we see that thorns and thistles and the sweat and toil involved in making the land produce, all of this was not part of God's original intentions. It displays the judgment of God because of the fall of man. Even the animal kingdom has experienced the curse because of man's sin. As we see in verse 14, notice that the serpent was cursed more than the cattle or the beasts of the field. In other words, all the animal kingdom came under the curse, and all animals were affected, but especially the snake. The evidence of God's judgment is still displayed every time you see a snake slithering along the ground. It reminds us of God's judgment against Satan. The judgment of God was displayed because of the fall of man. Doctrinal point number two, the grace of God was displayed because of the fall of man. The grace of God was displayed because of the fall of man. Now, where do we see the grace of God in this chapter? Well, first of all, we see the grace of God in verse 15, where we have the first promise of the Redeemer. God said to Satan, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The seed of Satan includes all his agents, including demons and unbelieving people. The Lord Jesus said to the unbelieving Pharisees in John 8:44, "You are of your father, the devil." So the seed of Satan includes all of his agents, including demons and unbelieving people. The seed of the woman is specifically the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God who took on full humanity. You know, there may even be an indication here of the virgin birth with the mention of the seed of the woman. At the cross of Calvary, the seed of the woman would crush the head of Satan. A bruise to the head is fatal. Satan was defeated when our Lord Jesus died on the cross for our sins and broke the power of sin and death. What does it mean that Satan would bruise the heel of Christ? A bruise on the heel is painful, but not fatal. The Lord Jesus would have to face suffering and death in order to defeat Satan so that we could be redeemed. So certainly we see the grace of God displayed here in Genesis chapter 3 with the first promise of the Redeemer. We also see the grace of God displayed in the fact that God came looking for Adam and Eve after the fall, and he clothed them, as we see in verse 21. What a beautiful picture we have here of salvation. God took away the fig leaves of their own making and covered their nakedness with the skins of animals. And those animals had to die. I'm sure you can see the spiritual picture here. As a result of Christ's death, we can be clothed with garments of salvation. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. The grace of God was displayed because of the fall of man. And now finally, practical application. The Lord's first question to us is still, where are you? The Lord's first question to us is still, where are you? Verses 8 and 9. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? This is the first question asked by God in the Bible. The good news here is that God came looking for Adam and Eve. The sad news here is that Adam and Eve were lost and tried to hide and then made excuses. Adam blamed Eve. Verse 12. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Notice how Adam blamed God as well here in verse 12. The woman whom you gave to me. And then Eve blamed the serpent. Verse 13. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. The devil made me do it, excuse has been used many times since the Garden of Eden. When God asked the question, where are you? He certainly knew where Adam and Eve were hiding. The real point of the question was, where are you, Adam, in reference to me? Because of sin, there was no longer any fellowship between God and man. You know, where are you is the Lord's first question to us. God would ask that question of everyone here this morning. Where are you? Not where are you as to your physical location, or where are you as to your business career, or where are you as to your church affiliation, but where are you in reference to your fellowship with God? Are you walking with the Lord? Or are you hiding from God because of some sin in your life or some problem in your life? Why not confess that sin? Why not bring that problem before the Lord and be restored to fellowship with the Lord? The Lord's first question to us is still, where are you?